Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator Newsroom Insider. I'm David Crosby. The replacement of a section of oil pipeline in rural Hamilton, running from the Westover Junction in Ancaster to the Nanticoke Junction in Binbrook, has been contentious since it was announced. Enbridge's Line 10 Westover segment replacement runs about 35 kilometers, including rerouting in some areas. The company insists that updating the 12-inch pipeline to a 20-inch one is a necessary infrastructure upgrade and not a capacity increase. Opponents of the project dispute this point and raise concerns about the environmental impacts of deforestation along the right-of-way, as well as issues of First Nations sovereignty and potential spillage. Opposition to the expansion has taken myriad forms, including a spate of vandalism. On Friday afternoon, a group of local environmental activists opted for a different tack, staging a reading of a contemporary classic in children's literature. Reporter Natalie Patton was on scene to document the protest.
We started our day off at noon in the parking lot at 14O's, gathering with a group, mainly of Hamilton 350 committee members, who were going to pick a location to protest along the Line 10 replacement project. And the sort of novel thing about today was they were going to be going and reading The Lorax, the Dr. Seuss book. And they actually had a Lorax costume that a supporter made for them out of a yellow onesie and some yellow pom-poms for eyebrows and a mustache. And Don McLean from Hamilton 350 was the one who actually dressed up as a Lorax. So once everybody gathered in the parking lot, there were probably about 15 people. They decided on a spot where they thought would be the best place to go to, I guess, have the most impact. They wanted to actually read the book to workers. So we headed out to Highway 5 just west of Highway 52. And so we got there, people started piling out of the cars. There was someone dressed as a truffula tree with some pool noodles sticking out of his head and kind of a tiger striped suit on. And others were carrying large, I'm not sure if stock is the right word, but large stocks of kale, I'm going to say, as trees. And they started to gather around the driveway where one would enter the site. And they started reading the book, and they made it all the way through.
What was the Lorax? And why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere? From the far end of town where the Brickle grass grows. The old Onceler still lives here. Ask him, he knows.
Just to give some context, the reason that the Lorax was being read today is because the group says Enbridge sponsored a viewing of the film The Lorax, not this past summer, the summer before, as part of the Hamilton Conservation Authority's Films in the Forest. And they, I believe, use the term greenwashing to describe, they being the committee, what they thought of that, given the context of the story where the Lorax is speaking for the trees. And the group, the committee, says that as part of the Line 10 replacement project, that 15 hectares of forest are being chopped down.
According to their plans, 14.9 hectares of forest that they're going through. And the scenic drive deforestation, tree cutting that took place that caused all the fuss at council, was a little less than a third of a hectare.
It does seem a little on the nose for Enbridge to have specifically sponsored a reading of that, or screening, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can see, I did go and check on the site, and it did say presented by Enbridge for that particular event in August 2016. So,
did you get a sense of what kind of impact, if any, the protesters had today, the demonstrators?
I asked Don McLean afterwards what he thought, how he thought it went, and he said, you know, the audience maybe wasn't as plentiful as they had hoped. There were probably about 5 or 6 people on site. I think a mixture of workers and security, mainly security, I believe. But he still thought they got the message across. They were able to read the book to some people at least, and the other demonstrators joined in as sort of the chorus to emphasize the point. And actually, after reading it the first time, they did go under the barrier. It was kind of a rope that was strung across the driveway, and they started reading it again to security and the workers, because a couple other people had come out of their trucks at that point. And security did sort of form a line.
Hi guys, I'll let you know right now you're all trespassing in a dangerous construction zone. We've got a lot of open pits and running machinery in here.
I think they felt like they got out of it what they had hoped they would.
You mentioned it was mostly Hamilton 350 people there. Do you know who else was there? Who else was represented?
One woman who I spoke to, Jadine Lavallee, she was there. She said as a supporter of Hamilton 350. So I'm not sure if it was any really organized groups or just people who don't necessarily identify or belong to the committee, but who support them in their actions. And Jadine was actually the one who constructed the Lorax costume for Dawn.
I do work with Hamilton 350 sometimes, but I'm also involved in other groups. And I believe in a diversity of tactics. I know that they wanted to duplicate the work stoppage that happened last month, and I wanted to support them in doing that. And through a brainstorming session, they came up with this idea to read the Lorax because of, as you know by now, Enbridge sponsoring the filming of the screening last year. And it seemed like a really nice way to get like a lot of other people involved. It was like a little bit maybe lower risk. And I think everyone had a really great time. It still bothers them because they still have to, you know, bring out extra security, and they knew we were coming.
And so, now that it's over, how do you feel?
I feel great. Yeah. It was very entertaining and wholesome way to spend an afternoon full of children's literature and getting an Enbridge's character.
Yeah, so as soon as we arrived, one police cruiser did drive by the location, didn't stop or anything, stopped further up the road on Highway 5, closer to Highway 52, and remained there. And then maybe halfway through, I'm not sure if it was the same cruiser or a different one, pass by again, and that was about it. I didn't see police actually respond to the site or address any of the demonstrators or try and have any kind of influence on what was going on.
Do you know what something like this, when it's being planned, do they have to notify? Did they notify the workers, the company, anything like that? Or is the idea sort of more of a bit of a spontaneous protest?
I don't know 100%. I got the sense that they did not notify the company because we became aware of this protest that was happening last night. So Thursday night, we became aware of it. And I phoned Dawn to see exactly where they were going to be going so that we could meet them there. And they hadn't even determined a location as of last night. And I think my understanding from talking to him was the idea behind that was they didn't want to, they wanted to find a spot that actually had workers so that they had someone to read the book to. So I'm guessing they probably would not have notified them because maybe the workers or the security would not have been there had that been the case. And it was kind of a moving target. Like, they weren't sure, you know, if they got to the site and no one was there, maybe they'd choose a different site. Or
you reached out to Enbridge.
Yeah, I reached out to Enbridge after we got back and just explained to them the situation, what had transpired, what some of the concerns were raised by the group, which was the cutting down of the forest, also consultation with Indigenous peoples. So I can read part of the statement to you if you'd like.
Please.
That they provided. So You know, they say Enbridge recognizes the rights of individuals and groups to express their views legally and peacefully. They described the Line 10 project as an essential safety and maintenance project and that it's not a capacity expansion. They received regulatory approval from the National Energy Board for the project last January, so January 2017. And they say that process followed extensive engagement with landowners, indigenous communities, governments, et cetera. Enbridge said in their statement that environmental protection is a top priority and that after construction's done, their goal is to restore the pipeline right of way to as close to pre-construction condition as possible by undertaking a number of measures such as mulching, seeding, and monitoring until vegetation is reestablished. And they've committed to plant 2,000 tree seedlings on the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation Reserve in 2018 in collaboration with a Six Nations business that's located on the reserve.
Unless someone like you hears a whole lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Unless someone like you hears a whole lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. No one can sing who has smog in their throat.
No one can sing who has smog in their throats.
No one can sing who has